Let's open our Bible to Romans chapter 7. The book of Romans chapter 7. This year, as we were told, we are talking, or amongst our theme is that we'll be a church that is missional, outward looking, and also leadership. When we say leadership, it's synonym with discipleship or a disciple of Christ. So when we say leadership, don't let your mind go too far. So if I say, the Bible says that forgive is leadership, you know that. It's very important. So don't let your mind go too far. Like if you have to go and read some big books on leadership, how to lead people. No. When we use the word leadership, it's the same thing saying be a disciple, follower of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Romans chapter 7, verse 18. I'm talking on the life that wins. The life that wins. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have a desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. The Christian life that God has given to you and I, if you agree with me, is to be a life full of joy. Is that true? A life full of peace. Have life to the full. To be in constant communion with God, uninterrupted. And to be in perfect harmony with His will. Do you agree? But we know that in reality, it's not happening. That is the life God has given to you and I. That our life should be full. We should enjoy it. Leslie, peace, joy, harmony with God. That you and every day we know that this is the will of God. That decision you want to take, you know that this is the perfect will of God. But reality, the word of God is reality, but on this earth, as the scripture says, it seems that those things we hear about or we read in the Bible, we are not seeing it in our lives constantly. Sometimes it maybe comes 2 hours or a day or a week and it goes away. Then it comes back again. Our sinful nature is such that it's very strong. It fight God every day, every minute. When I say your sinful nature, I'm talking your flesh. There are about 8 or 7 areas of sins. We have the sins of the spirit. When I say the sins of the spirit, we are talking of pride, jealousy, unbelief, fault finding, lack of prayer, the inability to commit oneself to God. We have the sins of the flesh. We know it, don't we? Adultery, fornication, unnatural relationships, having friendship with people that you should not have friends with, unbelievers. And basically, those relationships are even above your relationship with other believers. You know, some Christians have friends who are unbelievers, and they take them to be in serious tight knit with them than believers. It's a sin. We have the sins of the mind, unclean thoughts, too imaginative. I see Donna coming, or Leslie sitting here, and I'm preaching. Then I'm thinking, why, does Leslie doesn't like my preaching? Maybe she's kind of drowsy. Too imaginative. It's a sin. You see somebody coming, then you assume the person has turned their neck, so when they passed you, because maybe they slept on your neck, you know, you didn't know. So you think they didn't want to greet you. Too imaginative. We are full of doubt, sins of the mind. We have the sins of the body. Some of us eat too much. Some of us sleep too much. We are lazy. We have sense of disposition, character. Some people are born, I don't know, I mean, it's debatable. Some people are born bad, they are bad, I don't know. It's true. Some people too are born very fearful. Some people are born, we call goody, goody people. The goody, goody people, they do things that are sinful. I'm putting it in quotes. Not the good of the Bible. Some people are hard-hearted. You see some people like, did God create human beings like that? We have the sense of where we don't have a heart to keep God's word. Forgive. You say you won't forgive. Don't worry. You are worrying. It's a sin. And we have the sense of failure to render to God his due. God says that, give me your life. Give me your house. Give me your children. Give me your job. When I say job, I don't mean leave your job, please. You understand what I mean? Give yourself wholly to God and everything that concerns you. We are unable to do that because of the flesh, Romans 7:18. We have the sense of unrepentant of sins. That is, we are not willing to confess. When you look at Psalm 66, verse 18, see, if I regard iniquity in my heart, some people regard iniquity, sin. They want to keep it. They are not ready, let alone to confess the sin to God. Some people are regarding it. They like it. They like the sin. Somebody says, I like it. I like it. But God has given us victory. Hallelujah. Amen. But God has given us victory. Amen. Can see smiles on people's faces when I said that. Thank God for God. The life that wins. What I'm going to talk about might look very basic, very fundamental. That's why we pray that God will give you and I understanding. Because when we have this understanding, the life that wins will rule and will fulfill what God has called us to fulfill. Amen. And when I say the life that wins, I'm not talking of a sinless or perfection life or a perfect life. Because you're in this flesh, Paul is saying, the things I don't want to do, I find myself doing it. And the things I want to do, I can't do it. This is part of leadership. Let's read. You know, or sometimes we say, oh God, I'm doing my best. Help me. I'm doing my best. I've done A, B, C, D. Add the E and the F and the G to it so that the thing will work. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. We'll be quick with this. Galatians 2, 20. I want us to see these scriptures. I want us to see something. Galatians 2, 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. John chapter 15. I want to show us something. John 15, 4 and 5. The life that wins. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Colossians 1:27. There's a lot of information, but I will sum everything up. I can see where you see where I'm going. Colossians 1:27. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of his mystery, which is Christ in you. That's the mystery. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Last one, Philippians 1:21. Philippians 1:21. Philippians 1:21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What do we think is the running theme throughout these verses? Is that Christ in you. Christ in you. Christ in you. The life that wins is not your life. It's not my life. It is the life of Christ. That's why I said freedom is a person. If we are going to be free of these sins that I mentioned, the sins of the body, the mind, the flesh, failure to render to God his due, unrepentant of sins that require confessions, it has to be the life of Christ. That is the life that wins. Your life, my life, can never win. Oh God, I have done my best. Help me. It can never win. When you and I, Bible says that we were sinners, that we did not know that we needed to be saved or needed help, Jesus died for us. Not requiring any effort or work from you and I. If the I, me, myself, comes into the equation, Jesus or God cannot work with that. The I must be out. It is Christ in you, the life of Christ in you, that is the life that wins. Look with me to 1 Samuel 15:29. Christ in you. 1 Samuel 15:29. The strength of Israel, that strength, the original word is victory. And that's the first time the word victory was used in the Bible. And the victory of Israel is a person. The strength of Israel is a person. And what is his name? His name is Jesus. It says that, will not lie nor repent, for he is no man that he should repent. This basically was when Samuel spoke to Saul, when Saul disobeyed God. And he held the cloth of, or the end of Samuel's, whatever he was, robe, whatever he was wearing. And then Samuel told him, the kingdom will be taken away from you today. And saying that what God has said, he is not a man that he should repent. Our victory in this walk of life, for us to be leaders in our sphere of influence, wherever we are, at home, in the workplace, your own life, it has to be the life of Jesus. We cannot have the life that wins when we try to do it ourselves. And this life is not obtained. It is a life that God gives to us. It's not a life that you have to earn. He gives it to you. I'm going somewhere. It's very important. Because other than that, the sins of the flesh, you will use your strength to overcome them, but you can't. We are talking of basics. The life that God has given to you and I, it's not a life that you have to help him. If you help him, that's why you and I, we get frustrated. Because we are doing it in our strength. We are trying to help God. That's what I'm saying, that this, in our head, it's okay intellectually, but it takes revelation because it's a mystery. Because you ask the question, but I need to move my leg. Of course, you have to move your leg. You're on this earth, isn't it? But it's a mystery. God has to open you and our eyes to understand this. Because when you see or you get it, you'll be free. I will be free. The life that wins, before you can have it, the first stage, which I believe all of us have, is to accept Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. You agree with that? You couldn't save yourself. You know, it's funny, Leslie. We couldn't save ourselves. And when we get saved, Christians, then we begin to help God. Even our finances, relationships, friendship, workplace. I was thinking of something. Emmanuel doesn't mind. Because I was thinking. You know, I was saying leadership. Somebody would say, I'm going to read books. I'm going to do this, maybe to implement. Everything you need to win the life I'm talking of is in the Word of God. And I'm saying it to say that I'm not sure whether Emmanuel, he I don't know whether you read books or big books that people say leadership to. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. Do you? He doesn't. Good. It helps my example well. I work with him. You understand? Everywhere I go, Harold. Emmanuel. I also call Emmanuel, but you know the difference. It doesn't mean I've got a bad work ethic. No. But everywhere I go, I will hear Emmanuel. 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 And when they mention the name, wow. It's like, wow. Everybody wants to work with Emmanuel. I'm saying to say that he hasn't read leadership books. I'm sure that he knows the Bible and the preaching he hears. So I'm trying to say that the life that wins, when you allow the life of Christ, Liji, to come in, you will win the life. Because he is the life. Your life, my life, can never win. And the life doesn't change us. No. Jesus doesn't change you. I will explain. It is an exchange. The life we are talking of is an exchange. Romans chapter 6, 7. Going, if you read the chapters when you go home, he gave his life because we were supposed to be punished, killed, sentenced to death, eternity. And he says, I give you my life and I take yours and I nail it to the cross. It wasn't he changed you. Because if he changed you, you might. It's like this. Harold, help me with painting. You know when, I don't know the terms, like my house, you know, how do you call that thing? Wallpaper. That's what they gave me when I moved in. So I wanted to change it. Harold said, hey, my brother, we don't know what's behind there. If you bring that thing down, more work, isn't it? You want your family to come in. But some of the council are bad, you know, tell them they are bad. They just put wallpaper. And sometimes the wallpaper, you don't even like the design. I call something fianga, say fianga. Some funny wallpaper. But anyway, if it's what I'm saying, it's not God doesn't change. He exchanges life and gives it to you and take yours. If the wallpaper is there behind, is it cracks? What are some of the terms? It's dirty, grime, those things. And you keep putting wallpaper or paint upon paint. What happens with time? What happens? The cracks and the grime will come out. That's what we are trying to do, Christians. We keep putting paint upon paint, trying to use some strategy, something. You can't. He is saying, I need to exchange my life. Because your nature, you are sinful. It can't. You need to take my life. That is the life that wins. But it's a mystery because we need to find out how to enter in. But we enter in, number one, when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And I don't know, if there's anybody here, you don't know Jesus, I will advise and encourage you, give your life to Jesus. And your life will never be the same. After the service, you can talk to myself, Harold. A lot of people here, talk to them. They can help you and lead you to Christ. Amen. The life that wins. And Jesus, when he saved us, he did not save us just for the sin, salvation. The Bible says that he saves us to the uttermost. Have you read that in the scripture before? He saves us to the uttermost. There's a scripture, I'm putting everything together, who want to? In Romans, I think 6 and 7, somewhere, the verse. Homework, go and read it. It's there, but go and read it. He says, it's in the present tense, he cleanses us from our sins, the blood of Jesus. It cleanses. It's a present tense. Jesus saves, when he died, did not save you and I. Oh God, I give my life to you, and that was it. That blood. It saves you to the uttermost, the sins you will commit in the future. That's what I'm saying, that his life, when I possess it, I take hold of it, I win in life. That is the life that wins. Hallelujah. So your stress, your anger, your pride, my pride, my anger, the depression, can the life that I'm talking of, can these things affect it? The life that wins, can depression, anger, unforgiveness, can it live in this life we are talking of? It can't, can it? But if he has exchanged it, that's what I'm saying, I pray revelation. It's even a miracle if you can possess the life of this God I'm talking about. Jesus cannot be depressed. Jesus can never be poor. Jesus cannot be in this situation and this situation overwhelms him. It is you and I to find out the revelation and not to leave it one day, then tomorrow is gone. Daily. Daily. The life that wins, it saves to the uttermost. And Jesus is that life. Look with me, John 14. John 14. 15 to 18. John 14, 15 to 18. John 14. It will help me. Okay. John 14, 15 to 18. I read, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you the counselor. And it goes on. Basically, the Holy Spirit. The life that wins has a friend within him or her. And he's the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus has given us his life, and that life is in the Holy Spirit. So if you don't have this friend, the Holy Spirit is not a person who goes on errands for you and I. He's a friend. So imagine your bestest, bestest, bestest friend. Is he a friend to you? The life that wins is a friend to the Holy Spirit. If you know the Holy Spirit, you will win in this life. When I say this life, here on earth. Because Jesus is the life that wins. And he is saying that he has given us the counselor to be with you and I forever. The Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him. Because they neither see him or know him. But you know him. Jesus is saying you and I, we know him. So in the first, don't even say, I don't know him. You have to believe that he says, you know him. Then if it's not, you say you don't, then Jesus is lying, isn't he? It's like Jesus saying that let the weak say I am, let the poor say I am, and you're saying, oh God, I am poor, I'm poor. So you are saying that God is lying. I'm trying to say that we Christians, the life that wins has already been prepared and given to us. You do not need to do anything. That's what I'm trying to say. Because when your mind is fighting it now, it's because you think I have to do something. That's the problem. The life that wins. It's like Sister Polina coming to me, and I know she's worth 100 million pounds. And she tells me, I have your name on it, whatever. And I see the evidence. Do I need to fret? Do I need to worry? That's what God is saying. The life that wins has the Holy Spirit as a friend. And the Holy Spirit lives in you and I. He does. Never think he doesn't. He lives in you and I. But the question is, you have to make him your friend. You have to talk to him every day. In your mind, in your heart. Whether silently, verbally, however, talk to him. Anything, everything, anywhere, everywhere. Anyhow, talk to him. That is the life that wins. We are talking of basics. The life that wins. Look at John 16, 12 to 13. John 16, 12 and 13. He says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Don't you wonder? Struggling to figure out what is going to happen, but he says that he knows, that friend, if he can only be his friend, he knows. Because he is the life that wins. Not relying on your, not even your experience. Your experience can never be above the word of God. Please understand this. God himself using you, that experience you had with God, you can never use it above the word of God. But the same God that said, go this way, tomorrow can say, don't go, go that way. Amen. If he's your friend, you will hear his voice. He says he knows the future. What I'm saying to you is myself, I'm like, God, help me to come to the reality of these scriptures. Because you will be at peace. The sins that we are struggling with, the flesh, the mind, the body, not able to obey the word of God, worrying. When the life that wins, that has been exchanged for your life, my life, if we can only possess it, we will win this life. Hallelujah. The life that wins is based on relationship. John 15, 1 to 5. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will even be more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I'll remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Relationship with God, with Jesus. You can see with that and the Holy Spirit is the same thing. A life that wins is based on relationship. A life that wins is based on relationship. We must be totally filled and be led by the Holy Spirit with nothing of self. The self must die. A lot of us, myself included, I'm telling you, the self, like Pastor John was saying, is very subtle. Unless you allow him as your friend to expose yourself to you, so that yourself that is on the throne will be kicked off, then he can have full access to that seat. Because some of us, we are fighting with him.
push and he push, push, and he push. Maybe you have one quarter. He has, is it 3/3 or whatever? Some of us, he has small, he's nearly off the seat, dropping, saying, don't push. But we are pushing. The life that wins is based on relationship. The purpose of God saying the life that wins is based on relationship is so we'll be overflowing with joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. We are talking of basics. We're not talking of going to conquer and achieve something. Our lives, the life that wins, bears the fruit of the Spirit based on relationship. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith. The life that wins is a cleansed life. You know, when I say cleansed life, these days, if you listen to preaching, receive it. I receive it. There's nothing wrong. Claim it. I claim it. Claim everything. Put it in your pocket. Yeah, it's all good. But you see, you know, when you hear that, sometimes you wonder, how is the lifestyle? Because sometimes you hear, they don't talk so much about the sins behind the scene. So we have become so accustomed to receive it, receive it, receive it, receive it. But the pastor does not even the message or the leader or you or me, when we are even discussing or talking about it, don't emphasize on, are you living a holy life? A cleansed life? Are you confessing that sin? Are you regarding iniquity in your heart? The life that wins is a cleansed life. The life is through Jesus. So if you are doing that, you are claiming, and please, you see, that's the funny thing. God can bless you in certain areas, but because you think you are seeing the blessing, but certain aspect of your life is not cleansed, you are not confessing, you think you are okay. Please understand, this part of the earth, you can be in that state, enjoy life, and die still enjoying life, but the other world, he will tell you, I never knew you. A life that wins is the life that is cleansed. A life that confesses sin when they sin. They don't try to cover it. They don't try to hide it. They tell God, God, I'm sorry. I was angry the way I spoke. Please forgive me. I confess. Please, Lord, forgive me. Say it as it is to God. I'm talking of God. But if it's a human being, don't. Sometimes, you see, I learned this from somebody, and I realized it's true. When you read Psalms, when David was talking about, I think, some personal sins, as it relates to another human being, sometimes when you go and confess to a human being, don't be too detailed. Just tell them, I've sinned against you. I am sorry. But we want to know what was. Don't do that. Because sometimes when you do that, it brings certain things into the mind. All the Bible says, come, Hermione. She might even know, I am sorry, the thing I did. Simple. Or she might not know. If she doesn't know, then you and God, isn't it? If you want to go and say, you are taking some extra step, that's good. But with God, don't cover it. Tell God as it is. The way I behaved at the workplace, the thoughts, things of the mind, unclean thoughts, too imaginative. Tell him and repent. Father, I'm sorry. Amen. The life that wins is a cleansed life. Look at 1 John. We know it already. Let's jump. 1 John, you can write there. 1 John 5. 1 John 1, 5 to 7. 1 John 1, 5 to 7. You know, when we say confess, confession is basically saying, I agree with whatever it is. So we as Christians, when we say confess, it means that I agree with what God has said. So what God says, forgive. You agree when you are confessing. I did not forgive. God, I'm sorry. This person did this to me. I didn't forgive them. I was thinking of this.
I wanted to hit them, wanted to, you know, do something. God, forgive me. That's confession. Have mercy upon me. Amen. So it's not some open your mouth, oh God. You have to tell God the details. The life that wins, this one to also stress, is a liberated life. Freedom. What is trying to hang on to you? The sin. The life that wins, that has been exchanged with you, it cannot sin. Believe that. Don't let your mind go over. We are in the flesh. The life that wins. Because when you are thinking that, you are thinking of yourself again. Because the life that wins, Paul said, the life I live is no longer I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. Christ that lives in me. It's the same thing when somebody tells you, go to that place. Tell them, Mr. or Mrs. or Miss told you, by the mentioning of their name, it opens the gates. If you mention your name, if you mention your name, if Shahim tells me, Kwabna, they go here and say, oh, yeah, it's Mr. Shahim. Oh, Shahim. The person will not, let's interview. Oh, Shahim. The person will put the people aside. Hey, how is he? How is he? Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay, I'll see you later. Bye. If I mention my name, 1 hour interview. After that, my brother, I'm sorry. Amen. The life that wins is a liberated life. You are free because Jesus has set us free. Don't ask for me. That ask for me, that's the problem. It's the self. It has to die. Do you know what Paul said? When he prayed 3 times and Jesus said, my grace, or God said, my grace is sufficient. It's a strange prayer, henceforth, after that. It's like saying, God, I thank you. I'm pushing it. Because he's saying he gloried in his weakness. So it's like saying, God, I thank you that I fornicate. Then he goes further. I thank you because in you, there is liberation. I'll be free. What Paul was saying, I now glory in my weakness, because when I glory in my weakness, his grace, his power is made sufficient. He's not saying he's glorying in the weakness, because he went, God, take this thing away. I'm struggling. God is saying, my grace. It's not you, Paul. My grace. For this flesh, you will sin. But my grace. So it's like when you sin, don't let it be hard on you. But you have to feel it. You have to grieve. If you don't grieve, it's dangerous. If you sin and you don't grieve, it's dangerous. But you know the truth. The life that wins, grace is sufficient. It forgives you. And not only forgives you, it saves to the uttermost. And what is that? It can break that yoke. It can break that sin off your life. If you will believe it and accept it. The life that wins liberates, is a liberated life. You have to believe it. Because when you say I'm struggling, when we say that, most often we are trying to help God. That's what I'm saying. It's a mystery. I think it's a mystery. Because God must open your eyes, my eyes, in relationships, confusion, friendship, confusion. You are not sure what to do. The life that wins is a liberated life. You can't be liberated. And when you see somebody, then you bow your head down. Oh, hello. Again, hi. When something is still in your heart, you are not liberated. The life that wins, again, is an expressed life. It's not a suppressed life. That's why sometimes it's better. People will tell you their mind. It's better. Most of you, we suppress it. And we think we are dealing with it. It's not true. That life is you. It's the self. Oh, let me be quiet. The life that wins is expressed. When I see you, not that when I say I'm quiet. When I say quiet, you are suppressing. The thing is there. Once when I see you and I'm free, it's the life that wins. And that life, I'm saying, is Jesus. It's not you. It's not me. We have to see the revelation. I pray we catch it myself. You will be free.
I sent, I will talk to Emmanuel. Some people will do things at work, and we'll be like, let it go. Charlie, you've got life to think about, to be stressed about somebody's, let my blood be, I'm growing to become high blood pressure. Why? The life that wins cannot contain that. So you to use your will to believe, yield to that life, because he's living in you. Your life has been crucified, dead. It's dead. Hallelujah. We can see that we are living from a place of victory. My time is up. The life that wins is a life that is free from sins. Matthew 1:21. Don't worry. You can write it down. Don't worry about that. The life that wins holds intimate communion with God. Luke 1:6-9. The life that wins is wholly satisfied with the Lord. The life that wins, let me talk on this, is full of influence. John 7:37-38. John 7:37-38. Influence. It says that the rivers will overflow. If your contamination is negative, it's not a life that is full of influence. The life that wins influences people positively. No memory, no complaining. You know Romans 8. It says that for we are more than conquerors. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. The life that wins has the upper hand in all circumstances. The fragrance that comes from you is a sweet-smelling fragrance. Not complaining, murmuring, and when you know some people, when you meet them, the negativity is too much. If you stay close, no matter who you think you are, it will have an effect on you. The life that wins is full of influence and it overcomes the environment. Unless you're able to tell the person, this is not the life that wins. The life that wins does not complain, does not contaminate the way you're contaminating. How do we enter the life that wins? We know it already, the first one. But for us Christians, because we are saved already, it's two things. We need to yield. You need to move out and let Christ move in. Please, not like he moves in today, then he goes out tomorrow. He comes in to stay permanently. Hallelujah. Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20. We need to move out. We have to come to a place and have this phrase, I cannot save myself. I cannot overcome this anger. I cannot overcome this pride. And I will not try. I will take on. I yield to this life that wins. The life that wins always will yield to the life of Christ. Amen. You know when Jesus met that rich man? Oh, I've done this. I've done that. And Jesus said, one thing you lack. Because Jesus mentioned out of the 10 commandments, I think about only 4. He could have mentioned all 10. Why didn't he do that? He's doing that to show us that always there's something in you that you lack. There's something in me I lack. So he told him, go and sell everything. It's not a joke. Sell everything. Please, don't make it metaphorically or some. It is black and white. Sell everything. You are thinking of your children. You work hard. And let's say, I'm a human being. Jesus is not there. I'll come and tell you, Vivian, the Spirit of God is saying, sell, clear all, your whole bank account. Yours might be different. Mine might be different. But God is saying there's one thing we lack. If we want to enter the life that wins, we must yield all. Your family, your car, your houses, your lands, your shoe, your clothes. There was, Terry Komboom,
I don't know whether you know him. Some of us know him. She used to be in the, when the Nazis, the concentration camps. And she met a man of God. She went to preach in a man of God's church. So after she's finished preaching, she observed that the man of God was very tight to his family. Tight, tight. No, where are my children? Then he told the man of God. She's a German, I think. So in her accent, she said, mention the pastor's name. Learn to hold on loosely. Learn to hold on loosely, because he that gave you these children can take them. Learn to hold on loosely. The life that wins to enter, apart from salvation, we must yield every day to him. We must yield every day. Learn to hold on loosely to the material things around, including your children. As painful as it may be, learn to hold on loosely. People are yielding, but they are not seeing the life that wins. You don't just yield, you need to believe. You don't just yield, you have to. So faith is critical in this. Believing, faith is critical. Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20. Within that same verse, he says that, that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith. That faith is in the Son of God. It means that even the faith, again, remember I said, it's not even your faith. If anything of self appears, that life will not win. It must be 100% purely, absolutely, Jesus. If self comes in, he will watch you. When you grieve the Holy Spirit, he watches you. As painful as it is in your relationship, in your own life decision, he will watch you until you allow him full access, uninterrupted. As painful as the process, he will watch you, because you are contaminated. I am contaminated. It is only his sinless being, the person of Jesus, the life that wins, that can solve the situation, that can give you the upper hand, that can make you an excellent person in the workplace, a good leader. Like when we say we're going to go out to witness, the life that wins is not afraid to go and witness to somebody. Fear is not of the life that wins. In him, there is no fear, for he has not saved us unto bondage or fear, but he has given us what? Peace, love, and of a sound mind. That is the life that wins. That is the life that wins. Let's yield to this life. Let's believe the fact of God. The fact of God means that when the Bible says, Jesus says this, God says this, God says that I will bless you or I'll do this, believe it. Believe it. Have faith. And he says that faith he has given it to you is in Jesus. Like what Sister Paulina, I was saying earlier, 100 million pounds. Remember the figure? Who knows? Remember me. And she writes the check. I mean, and we know check, it won't bounce. Oh, the life that wins. I believe it. It is the title deed. Even though I've not seen the cash, the physical money, the Bible is the title deed. The life that wins. The life that shall we be on our feet.